My dearest Christian friends, may God's mercy, peace, grace, and love be with you today and always. There's a lot of people in this world who say that seeing is believing. They try to convince themselves and others that unless I can see something with my own eyes, unless I can touch it with my own hands, I refuse to believe it. You know what the problem with that is, though? There are so many things in life that we don't get to see, and yet we still believe and know that they exist. We believe that the earth rotates around the sun. We see evidence of it, but have you ever actually watched it happen? You ever been in space and sat back for a year as the earth moves around? Have you ever observed it for yourself? I have a feeling no. And yet we still believe that it's true. We've never seen it. We believe that the space here in the sanctuary is filled with air, oxygen molecules, things that are connected together so that when we breathe it in, we get what we need, that we will have that necessary substance for life. But have you ever seen them floating around before? I doubt it. And yet we still trust they're there. We still believe they're there. I've never seen it, but I know it's true. And then there's the age-old question, if a tree falls in the forest and no one's around to hear it, does it make a sound? You've heard that before? Be logical for a moment. What is your answer? Of course it makes a sound, because everything makes a sound when it's affected by gravity. And yet, I have a feeling that you've never been in the forest when no one was around, because that right there would make it impossible. And yet we still believe it to be true. We still trust it. All of these things that we believe, and so many more, without actual physical sight and touch evidence, and yet we still trust it. We still believe it. Why is it that trust and faith in God and Christ should be any different? I mean, that's really what faith is. It's knowing and believing and putting full confidence in the promises of God, even though we've never seen it with our own eyes. And yet, how does your faith do from day to day? Do you still have moments where you wonder, still have moments where your confidence is shaken, where you doubt, when everything in life isn't going the way that you wanted it to, when things seem to be a struggle, when you start to wonder, is God real? Does He even care? Can I really trust that I am forgiven? What if I need to do more? You ever had those moments where faith is shaken because of everything falling apart? Today, as we walk once again with Jesus and His disciples, and as we head towards that Mount of Transfiguration where Jesus' appearances change, really what He wants us and His disciples of all time to realize is, you have no reason to doubt. So take a look, see His glory, and listen up, hear His message. Jesus and His disciples were traveling into a region known as Caesarea Philippi. Once they got there, Jesus began to instruct His disciples. And the thing He needed them to understand is that very soon now, He was going to need to go to Jerusalem. He'd be betrayed, He'd be handed over to the chief priests, and He would be tortured and executed. As you can imagine, the disciples didn't like to hear that. They had been having trouble understanding what He had been telling them this whole time. They didn't like that idea. And so, in fact, Peter, as the spokesman for the disciples, he gets up and he rebukes Jesus. Rabbi, don't say that. But this is what had to happen, isn't it? This is exactly the plan that God had put in place, which is why Jesus then rebukes Peter with those words we've heard before, "Get behind me, Satan. You don't have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." This is how it must be. This is how it was always intended to be. They still struggled with the idea of why Jesus had truly come into the world. And so, to give them one more evidence of His message, one more truth so that they could cling to, and one more hope, He takes the inner of the inner circle up that Mount of Transfiguration. It says 6 days after this, Peter, James, and John, they go up with Jesus onto that mountain, and they get to see His glory. He was transfigured, a change of figure, a change of how He looked. It says that his clothing became whiter than anyone in the world would ever be able to bleach them. In another gospel, it's recorded in this same event, and it says that Jesus' face shone like the sun, like lightning. Jesus was in his glory. If it wasn't evident to them before, by all of the miracles and all of the things that he had done, who he was, it should be now. This is none other than God himself. God made flesh. His full and utter glory is there for all to behold. There's no room left for them to doubt. Because they get to see him now. He's proven it. And if that wasn't enough, he has company. The disciples recognized them immediately. I don't exactly know how that is. They never had met these people in person. And yet they knew right away that Moses and Elijah, two of the greatest figures in the Old Testament, that they were there with Jesus, conversing, talking. Jesus is gaining strength from those who have also persevered on their earthly journey serving God. And now Christ getting ready to finish his earthly journey and do that which was necessary for all of us. He gets the last bit of strength that he needed as well. Peter, so taken aback by all of this, not knowing what to say, remember it says they were terrified. He says, well, let's put up some tents. It's good for us to be here. Who wouldn't want to stay there? With Jesus, with Elijah, with Moses. Imagine the stories that they have. Imagine the things that they could teach. What you would learn by simply sitting at their feet and listening to them talk. But that's not how it would be. In fact, all of this was already the message that the disciples needed to hear. Take a look. What do you see? You see Jesus, your rabbi, but you see the Son of God. You see the one who has been promised, the Messiah. And if you pay attention to what has been said, you'll realize, people, these things need to take place. They have seen it with their own eyes. Is there any room left for them to doubt? We have to ask ourselves the same question. Look at his glory. Look at Jesus change there on that mountain. The Son of God, no doubt about it. And yet, when we see him and we know what he will do and we know all that he has done for us, do we still doubt? Do we still wonder sometimes? Maybe we think about our lives and how terrible of sinners we have been. And every time, particularly when we make the same mistake we have told God that we're going to stop over and over and over again. And then we realize ourselves in our own guilt and in the midst of our own despair, and we say, if he really knows everything I've done, I don't know how he could forgive. My sins are too big. My sins are so great. And we doubt. That's what Satan wants. In fact, that was Satan from the very beginning. Do you remember what he tells Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? Did God really say? Remember that? That's the first thing. That's what he wants to do. He plants the seeds of doubt, the seeds of wonder. He tries to get us to just for a moment question whether we can trust God or not. And that's where it all starts. We might be have guilt over our own sin. We might figure they're so great, but didn't God say that he sent his Son to forgive the sins of all people? I think that includes us too. Well, what about when we start to wonder and doubt and question, am I going to be able to have what I need to take care of my bills? Heating costs are certainly going up right now with the cold temperatures. Where are we going to find the money for this and that? Or what about my own physical health or the health of my loved ones? Where is all this going to come from? And we start to doubt and wonder if everything's going to fall apart on us. Didn't God say that he would take care of you? Didn't he say you are so much more precious to him than all of the sparrows, and yet he provides for them? You have no reason to doubt. He's proven it to you. He's shown it to you there in his own word. We have no reason to doubt. We see his glory. We see who he is and what he has accomplished for us. Don't doubt it. This is the Son of God. Look what he's capable of. The last several weeks as we've been going through Epiphany, we see all of his miracles. If he's able to do those things, there's nothing he can't accomplish. You have no reason to doubt. The disciples had that proven to them right here on that mountain. But what they saw with their eyes, His full majesty and glory, was not the only thing that they needed to hear. Because now, they needed to listen up. They needed to hear the message. We're not told here in Mark what it is that Jesus and Moses and Elijah are all discussing. But if we go to Luke's gospel, it does say it. It says that they were discussing His departure, which was about to take place in Jerusalem. What are they talking about? They're talking about Jesus' crucifixion, His death, His resurrection. They're talking about Him doing what He was sent to do. The very thing He had been trying to tell His disciples a week earlier. The very thing that Peter had rebuked Him for. Listen up. You need to hear this. You need to know why I have come. And as if that wasn't enough on its own, a cloud now comes, envelops the whole mountain. That cloud which was the symbol of God's presence among them. And the voice from the cloud, God Himself, the Father, who says, "This is My Son whom I love. Listen to Him." Did you hear that? Listen. You need to know what He tells you. You need to hear what He's saying, because that is where you will find true comfort. And when they listen, they hear the message. They hear what He's been telling them this whole time. And so do we. We can talk to God all we want. We talk to Him in prayer. And yet then we still doubt, because we say, "But He's never answered me." Sure He has. He might not have answered you the way that you want, but He speaks to us in the pages of Scripture. That is where He talks. That is His Word. Here in Mark's Gospel and other places where we take a look at His Word, this is God speaking to us. People who have that idea in their mind that seeing is believing, they'll say, "Well, I'll believe in God if He appears to me, if He shows Himself to me in full glory." I'm not so sure about that. Because that happened to the Pharisees, the chief priests, the teachers of the law. It happened to many Jews who still didn't believe in Him. He's appeared to many people who decided that it must be a figment of their own imagination. He speaks to us. He appears to us in His Word. And there we have all that we need, because that is what faith is, down to its very essence. Faith is believing in what we have not seen. What is faith? It's being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We don't need to see it to know its truth, because that is what God has given in our heart. Faith to know and trust. And it's a certain hope. It's an absolute assurance. This is His promise. So what does He say? Listen to what I tell you. And this is what He's told you. I know you're a sinner. I know you've rebelled. But I've washed you clean in baptism. I sent My Son to die on a cross to take away your sins. I raised Him to life again so that you would be assured that you will be raised to life as well. This is what He tells us. We have no reason to doubt. All of these things happen on that mountain, proving themselves to Jesus' disciples. When the cloud dissipated, they were the only ones left there. And it says, as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus told them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen here until the Son of Man rises from the dead." You know what they said immediately after that? Rises from the dead? What does He mean by that? They still didn't get it. We can be as hard on the disciples as we want to be for the fact that they have now seen His glory, they have now heard His glory, and yet they still struggle with it. But we still struggle too. We still have our doubts, we still have our fears. But Jesus' testimony to you today is this: you have no reason to doubt Me. Have I ever failed you before? Have I ever failed to keep one of the promises I made to you? You've been provided for, and I won for you salvation and life. You have no reason to doubt. You have no reason to fear. See My glory and listen to My message. People can continue saying that seeing is believing, that they'll believe it when they can witness it. But we've witnessed everything that God has done for us through the eyes of faith. That's good enough for me. I think it's good enough for you too. Because we've seen His glory. The glory of the one and only. We've heard His message. The promise of our salvation. And it will strengthen and keep us all our days. Amen.